This episode is being recorded out of Shop Talk Podcast Studios in Oak Park, Michigan. For more information, visit www.shoptalkpod.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back, everyone. Welcome to RNN Podcast, your favorite midday nursing passion pick-me-up. It's your spirit animals, your favorite nurses. I am Nurse Ivory.
And I am Nurse Ebony, here to make sure you get your PRN dose of refreshments and narcotics.
I think I had some this weekend.
Did you have narcotics?
I'm going to stick with refreshments.
Oh, just the refreshments.
Don't be missing in management. I stick with the refreshments.
Just the refreshments.
I had some wine.
That takes.
Do you know if most nurses, I feel like if we get admitted into the hospital, we have to go through like the screening.
We would all fail the alcohol consumption.
We would be on CEWA. Every last one of us, okay? Because I'm pretty sure we won't be withdrawing. I don't know. No. We actually may.
Maybe
we
that's why I'm super grumpy today. I don't know.
Because you didn't have your PRN dose of wine.
Right.
T-I-D.
That Merlot.
I'm not as fancy and mature as you. I stick with my my white wines.
Okay, like what?
I haven't really gotten to the reds.
What kind of whites?
I'm real, real bottom of the barrel. I like Moscato. I know.
I'm going to help you, my dear. We're gonna broaden your palate.
There was another one. I can't remember what the name of it is. It'll come to me at one point, but I like it.
It's so sweet.
But you know what?
You're sweet. You're so sweet inside.
Sweet part of me is the wine I drink.
That is fake news. Fake news.
Well, you guys, I know we are pulling away from yet another important huddle that management has called for whatever reason about engagement. We all hate them, but we're here to talk about something that's very near and dear to my heart. Because that small dose of sweetness is covered in what many would call meanness. Today, we're going to talk about the best way to be the mean nurse. Yes.
And I'm hoping to get some tips from Nurse Ivory because, you know, my nature is I am a people pleaser. I am always looking for validation from those around me. And I really struggle with being assertive. Over the years, I have gotten better. I'll say after 9 years, I'm better at sticking up for myself and for my patients. But it is something I struggle with. So it's nice having friends like Nurse Ivory around.
I don't think I've ever really struggled with being assertive. I have struggled with avoiding confrontation, if that makes sense, because I am not a person, I do not shy away from confrontation. So if like my fellow nurses has an issue, I'm like super cape, dun, 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 mean nurses on the way, don't you worry, here I am. I enjoy it.
But we need.
I am here to save you.
We need you, Wonder Woman.
But then, you know, what's the bad part about this part of me is that I kind of get most of the blame. I'm okay because I feel like I have real tough skin. I tell people all day, you ain't going to see me once I leave out of here. It's okay. It's cool. If you got a problem, meet me in the parking lot.
Shit's about to go down.
We can handle it then. Until then, don't take that approach because everybody is not geared or prepped to deal with that approach. There is a better way.
Yes.
To be a mean nurse and still get daisies. Because contrary to belief, people, I have gotten daisies. Okay?
You have?
I have gotten them.
I haven't gotten a daisy, and I feel like I'm really nice. I'm sad.
Do you want to? This is no shade to people with multiple daisies. But really, the secret to the people that always get daisies is they're the ones giving the patients the cards to fill out. They're like, you know, because the patient is so appreciative, like, thank you so much for taking care of me. And they're like, oh, really? Well, here's a card.
kindly fill out the survey.
Slice it to them very slow.
If you see the whiteboard on the wall, this is how you spell my name.
Because I am that great of a nurse, I make sure to update my whiteboard. Please look over my shoulder to the right.
And notice the doodles as well, the decor on the whiteboard for your viewing pleasure. There,
I put your goal for the day, one of which is to fill out my Daisy. Go ahead. Please do not
be
please
my
do
guest.
Not hesitate. So I do. I have seen that a lot, and that is no shade to people who have genuinely gotten them just from being an awesome nurse. But I have, contrary belief, I've seen that a lot. I was very shocked.
I'm going to start doing this.
I was like, this is how it's done. I can have more than two.
I just want one. I'm gonna keep a whole packet of Daisy Awards in my pocket.
Stock them on the side.
I've got that like side cargo pant.
Flap them.
Pocket.
Dish them out. That's all you gotta do.
Hand out those cards.
Make it rain.
Make it rain.
Make the Daisy cards rain. All over the patient. And the patient's family. Key. Give it to the patient's family.
Because they're
not the patient.
Yes.
Major key.
Yes.
So today we're going to talk about being assertive, being a mean nurse, and what it means to be a mean nurse. I think the first thing people hear when they think about like a mean nurse, they think about the nurse that is so combative, sits at the nurse's station just growling all the time, hates her job. That is not what I'm talking about. I do not advocate you to be any thing like those people. I really wish they would find a different profession, to be so honest. But when I say being a mean nurse, my definition of being a mean nurse is being assertive and advocating for your patient by any means necessary, no matter the perception it is going to give. Right?
Yes, yes. Part of our role as nurses, I would consider the most sacred part of being a nurse is being a patient advocate.
Mm-hmm.
And that means being that check and balance between the physicians and the patients and really, you know, sticking up for them when you think something isn't right.
And that's kind of hard.
It really
for
is.
For some people. Because like you said, everybody is not comfortable with confrontation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have no issue, okay? And I'll be the first. You can ask anybody that works with me. No doctor, MD, surgeon, I don't care what. No human being, no adult person in the hospital is allowed to talk to me in a disrespectful way because I demand respect for myself as a human being, as an adult, as a woman. Okay?
Yes.
You're not allowed to talk to me any type of way. So when I feel like there's a confrontation coming up about the patient, I've had a doctor ask me, why did you give pain medication to him? And he, first of all, he said it in a rude way. This is what I had to take what we talked about last episode, the compassion, because I felt like maybe he got a mental illness. So I'm going to be compassionate.
Right, right.
Because he don't know me.
If he did, he wouldn't talk to you like
did,
that.
He wouldn't know I would catch him. Okay. Anyways, so I felt like I had to take a step back and I said, well, sir, to be clear, you have this patient on a protocol called a PAD protocol. So therefore, I assess his pain score using CPAP and he has all the triggers that triggers pain. Pain is a vital sign. I treated said vital sign with the medication that is on his EMR for me to treat.
Based on the order that you
based
put
on the
in.
Order that is in by your service.
Right.
And he still gave me the look, and behind him, his attending was proudly shaking his head, like, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because you did it before I had to do it, pretty much.
Right.
But I'm not afraid of, I'm not going to stumble over myself because I know I'm doing what's best for my patient. You're not here all the time. You came in after his pain is controlled.
Yes.
And now you're trying to figure out,
why
is he sleepy? Well, he's sleepy because he just got some pain medication. He was thrashing about. He had surgery, so one can assume
he's going to need narcotics.
Oh, wow. The stuff that you ordered, I gave, is what I'm trying to sell you.
I really respect people like you and nurses like you, and I've learned a lot over the years and have developed my own thicker skin and confidence in my knowledge to stand up to physicians as well. I do remember, you know, early on in my career, I had a patient in the ER that we intubated. He was, you know, in respiratory distress, and he was newly intubated. Mm-hmm. As he was being, you know, oxygenated, he was, you know, kind of coming to consciously, and he was bucking the tube.
Crazy how that happens.
He was, yes. And he's literally, like, just writhing around in the bed. Like, we have this guy strapped down. He's terrified. Mm-hmm. He's completely awake and alert. Just this thing in his throat. Mm-hmm. He has no idea what's going on. And I go to the doctor, and I say, hey, like, we need to sedate this guy, because all he gave us was the initial RSI kit, mm-hmm, to sedate, and then, like, 1 milligram of Versed.
Because, like, that's going to last the entire time.
Right. So I go back to him, and I said, hey, like, this guy's really bucking the tube. Can I give him anything else for sedation? Can we give him some propofol? And because I made a suggestion of a medication, and I don't know. I guess he didn't like that assertiveness, and he refused to give me an order for any, like, longer-acting sedative. Mm-hmm. He continued to give me, like, 1 milligram of Versed order every, like, 30 minutes, and I had to keep coming back to, like, ask, can I give him more? Can I give him more? And I just felt like it was so cruel. And it was...
Was he a resident?
No. He was an old-ass attending that was rude, and it made me sick. Mm-hmm. To see this guy suffering, and out of ego, this doctor was, you know, playing games with me. Mm-hmm. I wish I had been assertive enough to say, listen here, get over yourself. We need to get this guy properly sedated. This is cruel and unusual, and I'm not taking part in this. And if you don't do something different, I'm going to write it up. That is what I should have said. Today,
and it's not even about writing it up, though. You know, the best way, I feel like a lot of you ER nurses are very good at doing this for the wrong reason sometimes. Y'all notes. Y'all write a note for everything.
Oh, yes.
That is the perfect one to be like, you know what? I'm going to cover my ass.
Oh, you better believe I made multiple notes.
I'm going to write a note
requested,
every 2 seconds.
Requested.
Sedatives. You had it there. You did it super professional.
When that patient comes back with PTSD, mm-hmm, from being in the hospital, and we affect him for the rest of his life.
Or if he ever decides to pull out a lawsuit, at least, mm-hmm, you cover it. CYL. Mm-hmm. Cover your license. Okay, ladies? Yes. Write those notes.
And gentlemen.
Write those notes. Every 2 seconds, you know, if I have to come back to you every 10 minutes, I'm going to write a note every
Notified physician. No further orders received.
Patient bucking tube, uh-huh, thrashing around, restrained. You know, I commend you for the way you handled it, because I feel like if you probably, you were advocating for your patient. Some people would just be like, I'm just going to stop asking. Mm-hmm. But who is that helping?
It's not.
It's and helping nobody.
As terrified as I was, especially being younger, of confrontation and figures of authority, mm-hmm, that's a whole other issue. I am proud of myself, because I did just continue. This patient's well-being was more important to me than my discomfort.
Absolutely.
And facing confrontation. And that has really helped me grow as a person, being in this field of nursing. Mm-hmm. So,
kudos to you. I'm going to do a silent clap with my two fingers, because you got it together, girl.
Thank you.
I would say another key factor to being a mean nurse, this is where I feel like I'm bomb.com, okay? bomb.com.
You are on so many levels.
But this one, let me go hit toot toot. Y'all heard that. That's me beeping my horn. Educating your patient, sometimes, especially the most non-compliant patient, is hard, mm-hmm, at times that you come off like a mean ass nurse. My background, like I've said, is CVICU, so we get possibly one of the most non-compliant category heart failure patients. Mm-hmm. If you're a heart failure patient, you just happen to be tuning in. I don't mean to judge all of you, but I'm going to do it. Very rarely do we get a compliant to the T heart failure patient. Most heart failure patients end up there due to modifiable risk factors.
Yes.
So once they have heart failure, a good majority, not all, have a hard time modifying said risk factors. Like, now it's not a risk factor. This is just a part of your diagnosis. This is a symptom. So, for instance, fluid restriction. I feel like
these are the thirstiest people you'll ever meet.
I've never met a thirstier person in my entire existence. I'm like, sir, you're like 5 liters positive. If you just sit still, your body will absorb the water and you might not feel so thirsty. I don't know. I know that's not how it works, but I want it to work like that in my head, right? So you have people who, I've listened to them tell me they drink 2 liters of Pepsi for a meal. Mm. And I'm like, come again? You mean a day? No, a meal.
And you wonder why you're drowning in your own fluid?
Like, your lungs sound like I'm deep in the waves, like I'm Moana for a second. And I understand that they do feel thirsty. Their thirst is a real thing. Mm-hmm. But you have to educate your patient to the point of, well, sir, the answer is no. You have met your fluid restriction for the day. The reason why I cannot do this, it is going to pose more harm than good. Here is a way I can help you. I have mouth swabs. If your mouth is dry, we can wet it. Mm-hmm. But I am not going to harm you any further. You are barely breathing. You have to lay it out to them. Like, this is what is happening to you right now.
Right.
Your heart is in a struggle. Your lungs cannot properly oxygenate your body.
Right.
You are full of fluid. I can indent my foot in your thigh.
I can draw my name into your ankle.
And it will stay like sand on a beach.
Yes.
I need for you to just rock it out with me. We gonna get through these hours. I will rational out.
We're gonna pull.
We are going to pull through. And I am going to help you rational out your fluids so that way when you get thirsty, you still got something left. Now, people, this don't work all the time. You're gonna have people that they don't care about what you say. So that's when your favorite word comes in. The answer's no.
The answer is no.
Can I have some water? No.
We deal a lot with this in the ER as well. Patients come in mm-hmm. with, you know, abdominal pain, flank pain, all kinds of things. We're working them up. You know, they came to the emergency room because they perceive themselves as having an emergency. A lot of these so-called emergencies result in surgical intervention.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone that comes through is automatically NPO. And, you know, they come in and you would think that these people have not eaten for weeks. I have not eaten in 5 hours. I'm diabetic. I need a turkey salad sandwich. Listen, Linda.
Listen, Linda.
You are not.
You're in the hospital. Because if anything happens, guess what?
I swear to you, I will not let you die of starvation. I swear on my life.
It's only been 4 hours.
I will check your blood sugar.
That's not how the body works.
You have an IV. If it's low, I can give you some sugar through your IV. But if you need surgery and your stomach is full of food, that is just going to delay your care. So please, for the love of God, do not send your family member to bring in KFC and stink up the whole department and then make all of my other patients hungry.
So hungry. It's cruel punishment.
Yes.
Cruel. Like, I always ask that working on a heart floor, it's like, why am I smelling McDonald's? Oh. I know I'm tripping. Oof. Because it's ma'am, he cannot have that. Well, you can't tell me what I'm telling you while he's here as a patient on this floor. He cannot have that. And food is not allowed in the ICU. So if you could, and if you please, this is what I'm talking about, people. Stop avoiding these confrontations. You are only doing what's best for your patient. And I get it. When they leave out them front doors, what is on them is on them. But while you are in here, I say this. I say, while you are in here, I'm going to love on you and I'm going to take care of you.
Oh,
whether you like it or not, I am going to take care of you. I'm going to make sure you get the best care.
I am going to take that and put it in my back pocket for later.
Put that one in your back pocket. Whether you like it or not, I'm going to love on you and I'm going to care for you.
That's beautiful.
And so the answer is no.
The answer is no.
The answer is no.
Absolutely not. I, you know, we have, if we have time, I have one more example.
Go ahead.
Remember in endo when our patients would be pre-screened by anesthesia, mm-hmm. and they'd be too sick for the procedure. Anesthesiologist would cancel. Patient's hemoglobin is 6. Sorry, mm-hmm. we're not going to sedate them. We need to stabilize this patient first. Bring them back tomorrow. Bring her back later in the day after a few units of blood. Then the GI surgeon or gastroenterologist would say, all right, fine, we're going to do this patient conscious sedation. What in God's name
makes you think
that
the patient is now stable magically.
So now we're going to have less resources, less monitoring, mm-hmm. Inadequate airway management for a patient that is very sick. So I myself and I saw a few other nurses in that department say, no, mm-hmm. I refuse to put my license at risk or put this patient's life at risk.
Don't be a doormat.
Do not be a doormat. If you feel like something is unsafe for your patient, speak up. Sometimes communicating with the doctor, mm-hmm. they may be able to explain their thought process and then it makes more sense and you say, oh, okay, right. I see what you're doing there.
Communication's key.
It is key. But, you know, standing up for your patient can sometimes save their lives.
100%. So,
it's just really important.
Being mean for your patient. This is yes. a quote. Put it on a shirt. Being mean for your patient can save their lives.
Absolutely. 100%.
Don't. That fear of being reprimanded, that fear of being exiled, you are the big dog right now. You are that face. You are the face of the patient. And so you have to be willing and understanding that you are acting in the best interest. Use your best customer service voice if you have one. I am working on mine. And, you know, do what's best. And if you're wrong and there's a conversation that shows that you're wrong,
admit to it.
Admit to it and we can move forward. That's all that is.
Because that's happened too. And I don't always question orders with the intent of saying, oh, you must be wrong because I don't understand this.
Right.
Sometimes I say, hey, doc, can you help me understand, like, what this order is for? What is the thought process? What is the medicine behind yeah. this? Or I'll take the time to do a quick Google search or, you know, search my reference material that I have available to mm-hmm. me. So, you know.
It's kind of, I mean, in a perfect world, we would have doctors who would put in orders and then seek said nurse that they want to complete the order to explain their thought process. That doesn't happen all the times, but it's actually what they're supposed to do. It's what they're taught to do. There's supposed to be always a communication between doctor and nurse. Hey, quick phone call. I just put in a Lasix. I saw this. I need you to give this because of this. And, you know, let me know if you have any questions. I don't. Thank you very much for letting me know. And then move on. But I have been a part of sitting down. You know, I literally just walked out my patient's room, got them situated, sat down at the computer, and I have 18 orders, and I've never seen a doctor. What, excuse me, did you put this on the wrong patient?
Right.
Because what's all of this for? So
can we talk about physician-to-nurse communication orders?
Oh, my Lord. I really wish they would take that out of the EMR. If you have this in your electronic medical record, that physician to nurse little trinket that actually they're not supposed to use for any type of medication or like real order. It's supposed to be like a communication tool to use after you talk to them. And if you say, I'm going to check on something and I'll follow up with you real quick.
Right.
That's what it's supposed to be.
I really encourage doctors not to use this tool because
I'm not going to read them.
Honestly, I'm going to read them, but I'm going to complain about it, and I'm going to probably approach you in person and say, oh, did you have something to say to me?
Because I'm standing right here.
The other day, I had a patient that said, or I had an order that said, please turn patient on her side so that I may inspect her sacrum. Well, this patient was like 600 pounds. And like, so wait a minute.
I was sitting in an order. I can do it now.
I was sitting at the nurse's station and I'm like, what is this order? I was like, everyone, all the nurses, come look at this.
Come.
Look at this.
Gather around.
Atrocity. This resident was too lazy to come find me, which I was sitting right outside of the physician's workroom at the desk when she put that in. And I'm like, why don't you just come talk to me about what you need? So I went in there.
Snapping your fingers and rolling your neck.
Oh, no, because I'm a sweet, innocent,
sweet little
delicate
doll.
Flower. And I went in playing dumb. Oh, hi, Dr. So-and-so. Did you need help moving your patient?
Because I would have never guessed.
I'm happy to help you. I kept saying, your patient?
Help.
I will help you turn your patient so you may inspect her sacrum.
Oh, how nice. We can work together as a team.
Oh, how wonderful.
I can also gather other nurses if you would have came and talked to me and we'd have gotten this done really quickly.
Listen, if you are respectful to me, I will bend over backwards for you as a doctor. 100%. I love my doctors. I love our residents. Mm-hmm. Most of them are amazing. And we have really good relationships. Most. I really, really do love our ER doctors. No, most of them are great. Mm-hmm. For real. They're a big part of the team. And most of them are very respectful.
They've all learned.
This particular one was rotating through. Oh, so she
ain't really care.
No.
It's
so,
just like, you know, I ain't going to see you ever again, so you can hate me all you want.
And I do.
Spoiler alert. I don't like you. Well, you guys, we're going to get into our favorite thing. Last week, we didn't have a clip for you to listen, but we're talking about doctor-nurse communication, and we found a great
example.
So let's cue up our favorite segment,
politely correcting atrocities with our customer service voices.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
So here we have a clip. We're going to let you listen. A little backstory. Nurse Eli, if you've ever been a Grey's Anatomy fan, Nurse Eli, brief romantic relationship with Miranda Bailey. And they are having a conversation because Nurse Eli decided to speak up on behalf of the patient and ask what the risk of a experimental procedure was. So listen in, listen very closely. Here it goes.
To those risks, you interrupted, made it seem like I was hiding something.
Well, in my experience, doctors do hide things. I just asked a question they didn't know to ask, that's all.
No, that's not your job.
I think it is.
To undermine surgeons and alarm patients.
To care for patients. That's my job. Making sure they understand what highly experimental procedures they're signing up for seems a part of that.
Oh, I thought that was my job. You know, especially considering that I'm the one who specializes in said highly experimental procedures.
Oh, okay. I get it. You're the doctor, I'm the nurse. I should know my place, right?
No. Okay, enough. There is a doctor-nurse protocol in this hospital for a reason. You know it, I know it. Let's just agree to follow it.
Not if it hurts the patient.
Wow.
Fake doctor-nurse protocols.
Yeah, that is not a thing.
Love it. Shall I start? Dear Grey's Anatomy, I just mentioned it. There is no real thing called a doctor-nurse protocol as far as how we communicate to the patients. Mm. When it comes to the care of the patient, we are both advocating for what is best. Oh, we love that word. We've been using it all day. Advocating for what's best. It is not solely the doctor's job to advocate for a patient. So, dear Miranda Bailey,
kindly take a seat.
We love you, but you are wrong.
Mm-hmm. In this case, yes, I have seen physicians react to nurses questioning them in this way. Listen, we're not here to feed each other's egos.
Not at all.
It's really comes down to patient safety and getting the best outcome and the best treatment for our patients. Our patients often don't know what to ask. They don't know what they don't know.
No.
So as nurses, it is our job.
It is our job.
To kind of coach them, okay, these are the things you may want to ask about mm-hmm. or discuss, you know, risks and benefits, even though it is the physician's job.
100%.
To provide risks and benefits, especially in the consent process. So, but it is our job as nurses to assess their understanding level of these things.
But wait, wait, wait.
Yes.
Dear Nurse Eli, you were also very wrong.
True.
There is in no way a professional manner to interrupt said doctor as they are trying to present a solution towards a patient to just bombard with, you need to tell them the risk.
Right. That was rude. That was unprofessional. You should have given her the opportunity to finish what she was saying. Although I do appreciate his thought and effort.
His tenacity.
Yeah, in making sure that this patient was taken care of. But he could have kind of addressed that outside of the patient's room.
I don't think.
Because when there's conflict between doctors and nurses or really any staff in front of the patient, that makes the patient feel unsafe.
It just doesn't work for anybody.
When you see an angry nurse as a patient or an angry doctor, it
lowers your trust in said care.
It does. It really kind of strikes fear. I mean,
so this whole scene was like
this patient's about to go under anesthesia and allow this
experimental
procedure, and here her doctor and her nurse are bickering in front of her. Like, that's terrifying, and that's a stressor that
it really doesn't happen.
I mean, I have seen it happen.
Have you seen that?
I have seen, especially in like PACU.
Okay.
I have seen doctors, not necessarily the nurses, like, confronting them in front of the patient. Not this mm-hmm. exact situation, but I have seen doctors yell at nurses in front of patients.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah. I haven't seen nurses interrupt a doctor's presentation.
Oh, no. I would never.
Typically, Grace, typically what happens, nurses coach their patients prior to the doctor's arrival and or after. You know, when you go in and you say, did you have any questions? And mm-hmm. they say, well, yes. And you say, well, please hold. Mm-hmm. Let me get the doctor back and we can go over these questions. Right. So this was just something. I mean, you guys, Grace, y'all did good trying to show us nurses standing up for patients. However, this hostile environment that you guys tried to portray,
not the case, I'd say. Obviously, maintaining professionalism is a key in mm-hmm. advocating for your patient. By nature, I am a warm and friendly, kind of meek person when it comes to...
Oh, so fluffy.
Right. I would say, though, there is some sexism towards women mm-hmm. who are more blunt or more direct in nature with their way of speaking. Mm-hmm. I'd say, and you can tell me your experience, but as a woman of color, I think you are harshly judged on your tone.
Oh, 100%.
And
like if this scene had played out and Nurse Eli was, and the roles would change, right? So say Nurse Eli was the doctor mm-hmm. and Miranda was the nurse. Mm-hmm. They would have tried to make that into a whole, oh, you just gonna get booked. Like, no,
stereotypes.
Not at all.
Right.
I am simply advocating.
Right.
My vernacular may be different than yours, but it's not any, you know, it's not any less wrong.
Right.
Everything I'm saying is right. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed this scene. I enjoyed that whole episode. I'm a Grace fan. And if anything, I think they did mostly everything right, but that scene kind of ticked me off. I'm not even going to lie. So, Grace, next time, try again. Good try again.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Let's represent our nurses.
Pretty bad. Much better.
Yes.
But, you know, you had fun.
Yeah.
You ready to go?
Yeah.
Well, you guys, it's been yet another great episode. As you are heading back to your nurse's station, don't forget, tuck away those snacks. Jayco is coming.
Hide your snacks. Hide your drinks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.